faith is the substance of things hoped for, but evidence of things not yet seen. As the brother talked about hope, it is used much more loosely in today's terms than it was back then. Hope was pure confidence in something. Listen, if you'll put your pure confidence in Jesus, I promise you, He'll never fail you. He'll never fail. I guess all that was kind of a side note there. Whatever the Lord's will be done is what I want to be done. Has anybody got anything up on your hearts tonight before we go any further in the service? Please don't get in a form. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees about their forms and their customs and their traditions? They ask him, why do you transgress our traditions? And he says, why do your traditions transgress my Father? Let's not get in such a form and such a custom that we can't step out of our traditions to uplift the Heavenly Father. This is His service. Let's allow this to be His service. Let's let His Spirit have full reign here tonight. If you got your Bibles and you want to turn with me, with the Lord's help, I want to try to paint you a picture that God painted to me. I never really heard this preached this way, but God painted it for me. And boy, it was such a pretty picture whenever He painted it for me. I hope that God will use me and I can paint it for you the same way. Over here in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, Brother Nathan preached about Korah. And he preached about Korah's rebellion and his disbelief in who should be the high priest. Certainly we know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees done the same thing whenever Jesus come. They didn't believe that Jesus was the high priest. And certainly we do have to accept that fact, and we do have to realize and put our pure faith. He was the Son of God. Over here in Exodus chapter 14, we'll have to do quite a bit of reading. Please forgive my sinuses. I have poured quite a bit of concrete here as of lately, and my sinuses are slightly flared up from all the dust. But chapter 14, and we'll start here in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak ye unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pharaoh, between Migdol and the seas, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, and that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And I told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us, and had made ready chariots and took his people with him? I want to stop for just a minute, and I want to maybe paint you a picture of what's going on at this time. You see, the things of this book, it's not a fictional made-up story that we read, a little bedtime story before we go to bed. It's not fiction. This is based off facts. This is things that really happened, and I want you to understand that this book is true. This book is the truth. This book from front to back, it says Jesus. It says the Word became alive and it dwelt amongst us. The truth is Jesus, and the truth is in this Word. So certainly, I want you to understand that this is a true story, and this really happened. And with that in mind, at this point in time, Brother Nathan talked about whenever he preached about Korah there and what all happened with his rebellion against the high priest and against Moses and the office and who was given the offices. We're going to back up just a little bit. This is before all that had taken place. This was several years here before, and this was whenever they had just, they was just coming out of Egypt. You see, God had caused some plagues to come upon the Egyptians to show the Egyptians that these are my people and you need to let these people go. Listen, you need to set them free. And listen, in this picture that I want to paint for you, the way that God had painted this for me, Pharaoh to me represents the devil here. And I'm telling you, his armies represent, they represent sin. And I'm telling you that Satan will do everything in his power to keep you from being set free from the bondage of sin. Everything in his power. He'll gather his chariots. He'll gather your sins. He knows you. Listen, he's been doing his job of deceit for a long time. He's good at his job. He knows you. He knows what you've done. He knows who you are. He knows what you like. He knows how he can try to distract you from finding the truth. But you see here, the Egyptians was angered because everything that had happened, and I'll not go into all the plagues. But you see, the Egyptians was angered. They had let go. They let go of God's children, and they let them go. And whenever they did, they didn't have them to serve them anymore. And they was especially angry, especially Pharaoh, because he had just lost his son due to one of the plagues. And so he was angered, naturally. And he decided that he was going to go and he was going to capture them. And that he was going to kill them. And he was going to kill them out in the wilderness. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what Satan wants. What Satan wants is Satan wants to drag you all into a devil's hell. And he wants to do so solely because he wants to rob God of honor and glory. You see, that was a great battle took place a long, long time ago. Skip ahead and let you know God won.
Amen.
And he cast Satan down. The Bible calls him the prince of this world. Refers to him as a serpent. Refers to him in many different forms. But the main form is deceit. It's sin. That's what he's after, and he's after that because he wanted heaven. He wanted to become God. He wanted God's throne. And because of that, he was cast out, and so now he's all about robbing God of honor and glory.
Right.
Listen, Satan don't care about you. Satan don't love you. Satan don't want you to go with him because he loves you. Satan wants you to go with him because he wants to rob God.
Yeah.
God wants to show you mercy. God is love in the fullest form, even beyond our own comprehension, just to be honest. With all that being said, he had let God's children go, and God's children then, they tried to flee, and we can read where God had led them, and he led them around the Philistines there. Didn't want them to be distracted by the war, so he actually led them around the Philistines, and we can see where they come up to the Red Sea here, and this is where he was given an order to go ahead and make camp right here by the Red Sea. So Moses was given the order from God to make camp, and he told him, he said that it's going to make them think that you're entangled and entrapped in the wilderness. And guess what? When we walk through this life, whenever we walk through this life, if you're lost and you're separated from God, listen, you are trapped and you are entangled and you are in bondage in the wilderness. You see, that's what I want you to understand. Whenever they talked about the separation of life and death, you're trapped on the death side right now if you are lost and separated from God. You're in the wilderness and you're trapped. Verse 6 here, and he made ready the chariots and took people with him. And he took 600 chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the hearts of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, and the Egyptians pursued after them, and horse and chariots, and Pharaoh and horsemen and all, and his army, and overtook them, encamping them by the sea beside Pharaoh and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel, lifted up their eyes, and behold, Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I want to pause there just a minute. Can you imagine yourself? Can you imagine yourself? You're out in the wilderness. Can be found. Brother, he's got the answer. Oh, listen. I've tried teaching my children that whenever we come into problems, I don't want my children to whine about it. I don't want them to cry about it. I just want them to look for a solution. And that's what I try teaching my children. Not a problem that he can't fix.
Amen.
He can calm the storms. We think this world is upside down, and it has been for a long time. We think that sinners' hearts are hardened and Satan has them too distracted for God. And if we really believe that, then shame on us. God can melt the heart of the hardest sinner.
Amen.
It is our responsibility. They see when you go through the hard times that you buckle. We start murmuring a lot of times. Oh, the same thing that they're fixing to do here. We start murmuring and we start whining and complaining about how hard this life is. And certainly this life is hard. It has its challenges. But when we get down, brothers and sisters, we should certainly lift one another up, scotch one another up in prayer, but we should always remember that we're a winner.
Amen.
I think a lot of times the worst thing could ever happen to us is we die. Guess what happens if I die? I've got a better place to go.
Amen.
And I want you to go with me too.
Amen.
That's what the world needs to see. Oh, Brother Tom, I had to talk about how he's invited people to come. I'm thankful to hear that. The Bible teaches us to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to compel them to come in. Sometimes, well, let me back up just a minute. When I read and I started trying to look up the word compel and what it meant, first thing I found in a modern dictionary, compel meant to force. And certainly we're not here to force anybody to do anything. We're free-willed beings. But the next thing it said is to find a way to make it happen. And And that fits us very well. Find a way to get them to Jesus. Listen, if we can't get them to come in, it is our responsibility to go out and teach it to every creature, the Bible says. Oh, we've got something that's real. And we got something that's alive inside of us. We need to be showing the whole world.
Right.
I used to, whenever I was younger, I used to go mudding in a four-wheel drive truck, and I wish I had it jacked up, and I had some wide wheels, deep dished, and I had big tires on it, big mud tires, and I liked to sling that mud as far as I could possibly sling it. And I did. I'd get that truck so filthy that you couldn't see out the front windshield, and I'd find me a little peephole to try to drive down the road, and I'd get the sides so filthy you couldn't tell what color it was, and boy, I was so proud of how dirty I got that truck. I'm afraid a lot of times us as saved individuals, we get caught up in the mud, don't we? We get caught up in the filth of this world, don't we? Oh, listen, whenever the Bible refers to the world and to the earth, listen, it's not a good thing. This world and this earth represents sin. And listen, we can find that the devil and Satan is the prince of it. But a lot of times, we get caught up in it, don't we? And when we do, we get so much mud, it's hard to see, isn't it? It's hard to see which way to go. It's hard to see what to do. And then we try to drive at night because we're so far out in left field. We try to drive and our headlights are so caked over with mud. That light is still there. The world sure can't see it.
That's right.
And it's really hard for it to try to shine out through all that field.
That's right.
To try to see the road. You see, I'm telling you, sometimes we need to wash ourselves up. We need to get in our closet. We need to get in touch with the Lord. We need daily repentance.
That's right.
That's
right. That's right.
And when we get cleaned up, guess what happens then? The old light starts shining brighter out of them headlights, don't it?
Sure.
We can see more clear because we're focused on the right things. And listen, whenever we can see more clear, guess what? That light's shining out. And then when you drive down the road, listen, those bright lights. People can see them.
Yeah.
Drive down the road nowadays and they've got those blue lights that are, they call them the blue clear lights, I think, and really high. They're HD for high definition, and they're extremely, extremely bright. I don't know what lumens they are, but I know their focus is really broad spanned, and they're extremely bright, and I run into them, and I think they're bright lighting me, and yet they're on dim, and the whole time I'm thinking, boy, them are almost dangerous. But I'm telling you what I hope is, I hope God's people can rekindle that flame, and that flame can burn and shine so bright. I hope that it's hard for the lost to look upon God's people. Yes, you got that one for free. I didn't think I was going that route, but picking up here where we left off. Verse 11, it says, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Here God's people begin to murmur. No, they begin to complain. "Have you taken us out of Egypt just to be killed out here in the wilderness?" A lot of times we get caught up in that. It's important that we realize that if we'll handle ourselves appropriately in hard times, that the world will see that and they'll know that there's something real that lives right here. We can shine the brightest in the hardest times. And that's the truth. If everything is great and everything is perfect and it's always perfect and you never go through any hard times at all, it's hard to believe what you got's really true and it's really real. People look at you and think, well, everything in your life is just so perfect. It's never bad. You never go through hard times. That's why you never act out. That's why you never try to find another comfort other than Jesus. But when we go through hard times, and whenever we go through those valleys, and people can see that you're struggling, but the whole time you're smiling and praising God because you're telling them, I've got a better place to go. This is not my home. Listen, I'm just a pilgrim and I'm just passing through. People will know that we've got something that's real. We're not just hoping we make it to heaven. We know it's coming. There's an oh-so about that. There's a confidence in that.
Right.
And in these days and in these times, this world, they need to see that.
Right.
They need to see it. Is not this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve Egyptians better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now, I want to stop right there and I want to talk to you for just a moment for those that may be lost and you might be separated from God. Whenever God starts convicting you, whenever you first find that conviction and that separation between you and God, you'll want to do everything you can to run back to what you thought was comfort, and you want to do everything you can to run back and hide from all the trouble, all the anxiety that may set up in your heart. You want to run from that godly sorrow, and certainly that's exactly what they done here, you see. They said, would it not have been better for us to just serve Satan? Would it not have been better for us to just stay over here, stay in trap, and in bondage and sin? Than to go through all this? To go through all the trouble? To try to seek freedom? To try to seek salvation? Would it not have been better for us to just stay over here? Stay in bondage? But I want to tell you what happens if you'll wholeheartedly seek. If you'll wholeheartedly, and what I mean is not just a, oh God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. God, save me. I'm not talking about a verbal anything. I'm talking about with your whole heart. Because God knows your heart. He's looking on your heart. He knows. He knows your heart. He created you. He gave you life. And He's allowing you another opportunity right now to make things right between you and Him.
Right.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall show you today for the Egyptians whom you have seen. Today you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, and speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the seas and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and all his host and chariots and upon his horsemen. I want to stop right there for just a minute. You see, God takes great honor in saving your soul.
Right.
You know that? He does. He loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. He sent His only begotten Son so that He could save you! He could save your soul! He sent His only Son so that He could do that for you. That's how much God wants to save you. God receives honor and He receives glory. And listen, He gets to take glory every time He does. And that's what he told him right here. He said, I'll get to take honor from Pharaoh. I'll get to take honor from Pharaoh. I'll get to take honor from those sins. I'll get to do away with all those. Nobody remembered no more. The Lord shall fight for you. He's already fighting. You see the drawing that you got? The conviction that's set up in your heart? You see what that is? That's the Lord drawing you and trying to lead you to an altar of true repentance. That's how much He loves you. It sure don't feel like it at the time. Oh, but I'm telling you, whenever I used to be guilty of something and I used to do something, oh, whenever I got convicted of it and I got called out of it, I'm telling you, I was scared. I didn't want to face my Father. I didn't want to have to look at Him. I didn't want to have to see Him. I wanted to hide from Him. But you know the very best thing that I could do is to come out, to come forth, and come right in His presence and just let Him know, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Listen, I'm not worthy of forgiveness. But God loves you enough that He will. But what He wants is your whole heart. Your whole heart, not part of it. God owns the whole world. You don't have anything to give God except your heart. And that's what He's after. Submit to that draw. And if you feel the urge to pray, I promise you're not going to interrupt me. If you feel the urge to pray, pray now. Pray. Listen, seek Him out. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. I have gotten me honor from Pharaoh and his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, and removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back, and a strong wind in the east made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea and dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and their hand on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, and the Pharaohs and the horses and chariots and the horsemen. I'm telling you, just whenever they thought they was caught, just whenever they thought they was done, they had no more time. You see, time had run out. Then they called up to them, and they was surely fixing to die. They had nowhere else to go. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord made a way. The way is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the light. He is the door. He's the bread of life. The rose of Sharon. He is the great I am. And you know what Satan done? Satan is sitting right there with you now. And he's sending his horses after you. He's sending pride. He's saying, don't bow down before me. Don't bow down in front of those people. Listen, he's sending self-righteousness your way. He's saying, you've been too good. You're a good boy. You're a good little girl. You shouldn't have to repent. You shouldn't have to go through this. And the whole time God said, please don't. Please don't. I've made a way for you. Just come to the other side. Come to me. And I'll save your soul. I'll give you rest. Amen. All that trouble and all that conviction. You know what God will do? Gone. Gone.
We make it seem so dramatic at times, and we try to make it theatrical, and we try to
me. All of that gone. Just gone. I heard about shouting. I heard about seeing lights. Oh, God, what was this? And I bowed back down and went to praying. In just a short time, God let me know. That's what he wants to do for you too.
Amen. Yes, he does.
That's why you've got the conviction upon you, because he wants to take it away. He wants to draw you to him. He wants you to be a child of his. I could remember growing up in school, and I could remember going to school with friends, and boy, they had money. Never hauled a trailer a day in their life, and they drive up with a $70,000 dually. And I'm sitting here going, I struggled to buy a $3,000 truck. I thought, man, why couldn't I have been born there? Listen, you can be a child of the King. Who wouldn't want to be that?
Amen.
Certainly, don't mistake me. I'm very thankful that I was born into the family I was born into now as I got older and more mature. And the Egyptians pursued them and went out into the midst of the sea. Even Pharaoh and his horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Listen, you see, Satan had done sent everything your way he can send. He's telling you, hold your seat. He's sending that horse your way. Hold your seat. Don't cry out of God. He's taking your pride. He's taking your self-righteousness. He's taking your greed. He's taking all of these things. He's taking your desires. And he's trying to pull them in the way of you and God. He's trying to pull them in the way of you and your salvation that's just on the other side.
Yep.
That's what he's doing. He's sending his army your way. Don't let him catch you. You see, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't let that lion catch you. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the waters and come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the waters, over the sea, and the seas returned in strength. To his strength when the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of the host of the Pharaoh, and came to the sea after them, and remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them. They're on their right hand and upon their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servants Moses. You see, today can be the day that God can slay your sins. Listen, I find over one place. You know what can happen? He can take all your sins if you'll get your heart right with him.
Amen.
He can take all your sins. He can take Satan, because he's bigger than Satan. You see, he's done beat him. He beat him for me one day. He beat him when he was in heaven. And he'll beat him for you when you get your heart right. But he can take all your sins. He can take everything that the devil can throw at you. He can take every bit of it if you will humble your heart. If you will give your whole heart to him, you know what he can do? He can take the blood of Jesus and he can clean it up. And with the blood of Jesus, listen, he can take every one of your sins and drown them in the midst of the sea. Listen, so they won't hold you back from going through those gates one day after a while, the gates of heaven.
what he wants to do.
Right.
It's going to take you getting your heart right with him. Yes, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But it's with the heart you've got to believe.
Right.
I'm telling you, our intercessor is sitting at the right hand of the Father, our high priest. He's got his hand stretched out. And that drawing that you feel, it's going to say, boom. That's what he wants to do for you. And that concludes my message. I do believe. I thought I was going to get into a few other things, but I do believe the Lord has done with me. I love you. This church loves you. But do you know nobody loves you, not even your mom and dad, more than God?
That's right.
Mom and daddy can't fix this for you. I can't fix this for you. This church can't fix this for you. What we can do is lift up the one who can. And his name is Jesus.
Man.
Get your heart right with him before it's too late. That's my plea. Brother, if you've got a song.